Okay, are we ready? So you know I'm going to make you stand up, don't you? Come on. Just for Ellen, everyone stand up. You're so blessed by it. Actually, we could have made just you stand up, sorry. Jeff would, I wouldn't. All right, ready to pray? Man, it's okay. Lord, we just thank you so much for Joe. Thank you, Lord, for Joe. And we know, Lord, that you've equipped her, that every word that you produce through her hits its target, Lord. They are well, well-directed words. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you'll soften our hearts and open our hearts, Lord, that your words will be able to speak in straight spirit to spirit now, Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much for Jeff, Lord. We are just so blessed to have him regularly preach here, Lord. We just are doubly blessed today, Lord, to have them as a team ministering this way. And we just welcome that, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just recognize that these guys are the ones who you use to bring new wineskins, Lord. We just know, Lord, that you want to pour out your spirit, you want to pour out new things, and we know that the old ways can't contain the new ways, Lord. And so we just pray right now, Lord, upon these two, that you will bring words, Lord, which will bring release, Lord, that will allow the new wineskins to be built in your name, that you could pour your Holy Spirit out, Lord. We just look for the new things that you go to do. We want to see thousands come to faith, Lord. We want to see hundreds upon Berwick who are healed. We want to see Berwick to know about Jesus Christ, our Lord, not just the people in this hall. So we just pray you bless them, Lord, and we welcome them and we invite your Holy Spirit and look forward to see what you're about to do, our Lord, through them. Amen.
No, you're on. So does anyone like jigsaws? Jigsaws. I do. I like things that I can finish and know that I've got them right. It's the way God made me. I liked maths and science at school. Anyway, apart from the two-dimensional aspect of jigsaws, they give us a good picture of the church. Lots of individual pieces that fit together to make the whole. Each one different, unique, and vital. So when I start a jigsaw, I look for the edge pieces first. I especially like to find the corner pieces. Then I'd probably pick out the pieces that are a similar color because they will probably fit together. But that doesn't always work. Quite often the pieces that don't look like they're even part of the same jigsaw actually do go together. Other times, there's a piece that doesn't seem to fit anywhere. Then all of a sudden, I see it differently, and it makes sense, and turns out to be the piece I've been looking for all along. The church is Christ's body, made up of different parts. Last week, Gareth talked about the gifts that God gives us, which are for the common good, given as the Holy Spirit chooses, and are to be used with and in love. One person doesn't have all the gifts. We're designed by God to need each other. Romans 12:5 says, each member belongs to all the others. Each piece of the puzzle, or the church, if you like, has been given different gifts for the common good. We're different colours, if you like. The Bible also teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 gives us the list. Love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. I love that. Now we get to have all of these, not just one or two. The Holy Spirit lives in the life of every believer, and the fruit is who he is. So as we surrender our lives to God, those lovely characteristics become part of our true nature. Not wanting to push the illustration too far, but if we are pieces of a jigsaw, and the colourful picture side represents our unique character and gifting, the other side, which is the same for all pieces, could represent the fruit of the Spirit, which should be evident in every part, in each one of us. So, as we eagerly desire spiritual gifts to build up the body, it's really important also to nurture and tend the Holy Spirit fruit growing in our lives. They enable us to steward our gifts well. Something that can be hard for us is to accept who God made us to be. It's easy to look at someone else's life or gifts and want to be like them. Jeff and I have journeyed with God together, desiring and chasing after the same things for a long time. But the outward working of what that looks like for us is very different. A lot of the experiences and the encounters of God that Jeff has had, I've not had. We both may seek to make sure that there's nothing in our lives that might get in the way of us encountering God and receiving all that he has for us. So basically, they are no conscious sin. So if we know something's wrong, we don't do it. That's what that means. There's no unforgiveness, and we're not too busy to be able to set aside good time each day to spend with God. So quite often, Jeff senses the presence of God. He may lie down or fall down. He may laugh or cry. But for me, not so much. I've sat in many meetings longing for an encounter with God. Over the next week or so, some of us may feel like we're missing out. So we need to be careful about where we let that take us. We have to remember and align ourselves with the truth that Gareth reminded of us last week. This visit is for us as a church. So if God is working in somebody's life, or giving them a special encounter of himself, or a new gift, this is for us all. We are one body. So we get to choose to rejoice with those who rejoice, which often turns out harder than to mourn with those who mourn. I wonder why that is. Anyway, I thought it was important to speak about this morning, as one of the things that the enemy loves to do is to isolate us, to make us feel isolated. He can't isolate us, by the way. And that can often be in a crowd when we feel that everybody else is having a good time. So if you feel like that, you will know that there's a good chance that others are feeling that way too. And maybe you'll remember some of the things that I've found helpful. For me, there are times when my emotions well up. I feel desperate for God and almost heartbroken that I'm not feeling anything. I can worry that people will think there's something wrong with me or just feel sorry for me. I struggle at times with whether I'm protecting myself from disappointment or even embarrassment. I don't think I do. I try not to. So I have to be firm with myself. I know that it's the truth that sets us free, so I focus on the truth and I align with it. First, God knows me and loves me, and he is good. He's not mean, and I'm not really missing out. I may well be being trained, and I can trust him. Secondly, as it's often to do with experiencing God's tangible presence that causes me to feel this way, I focus on the truth that God is always with me, whether I feel it or not. All Christians have the Holy Spirit living inside them, and God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. So I'm always in God's presence. That's the truth. I'm never aware of not being in God's presence, though. That would be a concern, because it cannot be true. A physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit may be a wonderful experience, but we seek to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, and that isn't always the result of an encounter. But transformation will always be the result of a daily, surrendered walk with God. And God actually has a unique training plan for each one of us. Nothing is mass-produced in heaven. We get to walk out our life hand in hand with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How amazing is that? Thirdly, I choose to get over myself. Enjoy being part of the body and look for God wants, for what God wants me to do. Sometimes I feel to join in praying with someone else who is being blessed. Sometimes I get to intercede for someone from a distance. Other times, God may show me someone to get alongside with a word of encouragement. Or I just continue to worship God because he is worthy and I love him. I may have to go back to declaring the truth that I'm not missing out, that God is good and he knows what's best for me if my emotions play up again. Actually, I know God has designed, called, trained and equipped me for another part in all that God is doing here. I might not see or feel, but I do know, and I have been given discernment. And being separate from the passion and the emotion of the moment may well be vital to me, for me to be able to steward this and all that's to come well. Also, I'm learning more about the different seasons that God takes us through. It's not always easy to find language to express what we're beginning to grasp. Graham Cook uses the terms time of manifestation and times of hiddenness. So in times of manifestation, we have great experiences. God engages with our hearts and shares his heart with us. And we're captured by his beauty. In times of hiddenness, we learn deep truths, or maybe truths get rooted and established deeper into us. We have to trust and believe beyond our feelings. It's often a time of revelation where God shows us solutions and strategies. When we learn to think differently, when we receive more of the mind of Christ and our minds are renewed. We grow in wisdom and we are empowered to be still and quiet, receiving deeper rest and peace. It may be a hard time, though I believe it can be a delight. If we stick with it, trusting and focusing on God, not ourselves, it will be a time of increase and great blessing for the whole body. So if it turns out that God, in his goodness, has you in a time of hiddenness at the moment, rejoice. And make sure that you have something to write down what he shows you, so we don't miss a thing. For all of us, we must keep on looking at and for the bigger picture. Our commission is given by Jesus to make disciples and to see the kingdom advance. To see many come to a living faith. Receive the freedom that Jesus died and rose again to win for us, and to find fulfillment in the purposes they're created for. We're the body of Christ. It's not me, it's always us. Ken Fish's visit will, we pray, be important in building us up and equipping us as a church. When God pours out his Holy Spirit in greater measure with gifts and blessings. When God speaks his words over our lives and calls us into all that he intends us to be. When we enjoy his manifest presence and fall deeper in love with him. And when we get a chance to put into practice what we believe, whatever our emotions might say, that we belong to each other, we need each other, and we will fight for and celebrate with one another. And that we are one body. And Christ is our head. So back to the jigsaw of our church. Everyone is needed to make the picture complete. Everyone. It'll be spoilt if your piece is missing. That's not talking about turning up next weekend. That's talking about us as a church. I've also got one of those jigsaws that's really hard, where each little piece is a picture and they fit together to make a bigger picture. Mine's of a lion. It's really hard. But it's a reminder to me that we as a church are one little piece in another bigger picture. That is the church worldwide, the bride of Christ, a greater truth again. So let's pray. Dear Lord, have your way among us. We desire more of you. And that really means giving you more of us. To see your kingdom come and your will be done in and through us. We declare your goodness and your love, your mercy and your grace for us and the whole human race. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. That was great. Just finding my glasses. As you can see, we're trying to put some things in place to help us to be ready, to be prepared for all that God's going to do over the coming weekend. And I just want to look at another aspect of that. I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 35 if you have your Bibles. I'm just going to read the first little bit of this parable. Jesus says, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." We're just going to, I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at table, and will come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. Now, most commentators would see this parable as one that's referring to the second coming. And I just want to look at the principles behind it and apply them to our readiness for God's coming in renewal and revival. That is not the original intention of the parable, but the principles are good principles. And the first thing to think about is that be dressed, ready for service. The picture here is of servants who don't know when the master is going to return, but they're expecting him before the morning. The second watch is 9 till 12. The third watch is 12 till 3. So there's your picture. They are maybe somewhere around about 7 or 8 o'clock. It could be 3 hours, it could be 6 hours, it could be 8 hours, but they're going to be ready to serve him at a moment's notice. And that includes being properly dressed in clothing appropriate for their job. When you ask somebody, "Are you ready?" it usually means one of two things. The first is this. It's the question just before you go out or before you run a race or something like that. Are you ready for action? So it's a question like this. If I open the door now, how long might it be before you join me? This is a question that husbands ask wives when they're getting ready for a party. And sometimes the other way around, I have to say. If the starting pistol went off, how long would it be before you responded? Are you ready to go? Are you on your toes, not on your heels? Are you on your feet, not on the couch? Are you ready? That's the first meaning of "are you ready?" And these servants could answer yes to the question, are you ready? Firstly, because of the way they were dressed. We dress in various ways depending on what we're doing. It might be a Saturday morning and you might be dressed for comfort. It might be that you still get your jimmies on, or your track pants, or your slippers, or some Uggs. You feel extremely comfortable, but you might not be ready to be engaged in public activity. For all our sakes. It might be about dressing for style. It's a party, it's a special event. It's stilettos, posh frocks, hats. It's those guys' slippy shoes. Suits that were bought 10 years ago when we were a different shape, but are still worn for special occasions. We feel like we've scrubbed up well, but we wouldn't be much use in a race. We wouldn't be much use to do anything practical. It might be that we're dressed for action. Could be sports gear, could be working gear, could be safety gear. Not particularly comfortable, not particularly stylish, but just right for the job in hand. And the Bible uses the imagery of putting on clothes, talking about attitudes and attributes. It talks about us getting rid of things, taking off the stuff that gets in the way, sinful thoughts, attitudes, and adding things or putting on things that are in keeping with our calling as believers. So, for example, in Colossians 3, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Put on the armor. Put on the new self. Put on love. They're all things that are mentioned in Scripture. When it comes to the way we are dressed as we look for God to do what only He can do, the sense that God was speaking to me about in this is the sense of being dressed, ready for service. Making sure that we're not all about comfort. What we're coming for is nice feelings and being blessed. But we don't want it to be too strenuous. We don't want it to involve sacrifice. We don't want it to get too close to God making demands of us. We're looking to be ministered to by God, ministered to by others. We're not thinking about how we can minister. Making sure that we're not all about style, over-concerned about the way it looks, or so concerned about our reputation and our image that we aren't ready for action, afraid for stuff to get messy. It's going to get messy. Afraid of getting things wrong, leading us into the trap of making no mistakes by taking no risks. But that when we come, knowing we're pieces of the jigsaw, part of the body, knowing that if someone else gets blessed, we get blessed, we're all about serving. Here I am, Lord, I'm ready. When you say go, I'll go. I'm ready to do whatever you ask. And I'm not even going to ask what it is you're going to ask. Ready to worship. I'm ready to intercede for others. I'm ready to pray with them. I'm ready to receive revelation in a way that helps build up the church. Coming with that sense of anticipation and expectation. Might be the second watch. Might be the third watch. Not going to miss it. Ready to go. Ready to serve. Spiritually, no jimmies, no tracky pants. Spiritually, no posh frocks, no suits. Clothes that are ready for the race. Ready for the job. Ready to serve. The second thing that Jesus talked about is keep your lamps burning. The servants here needed to be prepared too. They needed to get in a good supply of oil, and they needed lamps that were trimmed and lit ready. It's no use them being wide awake when the master returned and not being able to serve him because there was no light, because they'd run out of oil, or because they couldn't get them lit. All of that waiting and still missing out on doing what they were intended to do, that would be so disappointing, wouldn't it? And that gives the second meaning for the word ready. Not are you ready to go out, but are you ready for that exam, that driving test, that interview, that race? Are you prepared? Have you done the study, the revision, the planning, the training? Have you put the work in? Many of those who bemoan their results will readily admit that the reason they didn't come up with the goods was that they weren't ready. When the exam, when the test, when the presentation, when the race came, they weren't prepared for it. They would have done okay if there had been that one question that they'd actually revised for. There's just telling expressions on faces all over the place. But because it wasn't like that, they weren't able to give a good account of themselves. The enemy loves us not to be prepared. He will do everything he can to distract and discourage and confuse us so that we miss out on what God's doing and the privileges and the blessings that go with it. He wants us to run out of oil, to not have our wicks trimmed so that they can burn bright in the presence of our master. These servants can answer yes to the question, are you ready? Because they've made the right preparations. If you think of each lamp as the presence of God in you through the Holy Spirit, being nurtured by the way we're living in a way that welcomes him and invites his presence and doesn't quench or grieve him. If you imagine those wicks as being connected to our capacity to burn well, to carry his presence and let it shine in and through us, through surrender, through openness, through humility, through godliness. That gives us a glimpse of how we can be prepared for the Father's coming. We talked about some of these keys to preparing us last Monday at the Key Leaders meeting. Some things to make our habit. I'll mention some of them now. Worship. Make it a habit. Make it a habit to worship out loud. That's so that we're actually engaging all of us. And I just want to say, soaking is wonderful. Going into the presence of God and enjoying lovely music is wonderful, but that is not worship, because that's for you. So it'll include that, but it's more than that. Rest for our souls is really important. And rest for our souls is different to what most people call rest. Most R&R will not rest our souls. Find out what does. Prayer, intercessional, conversational, beyond words. Declaration, declaring the truth of God's word, who we are, what we're called to. If there's prophecy over our lives that has been confirmed, speak it out. The truth about who God is, his nature, his character, his attributes. Walking in righteousness, as Joe said, that aim of committing no conscious sin. If we do, confess, repent, ASAP, back to the aim again. Examine our hearts so the Holy Spirit has a chance to convict and help us grow. And righteousness is very much not just about avoiding the negative. We're completely miserable, but we don't do much wrong. Father, what is the good you want me to do? That becomes the focus. And as the focus becomes walking into who God has for us to be and what God has for us to do, then the bad stuff gets squeezed out. Keep your lamp burning. Pursuing God's presence, full of his Spirit, so that when he comes in power, we're not saying, hang on a minute, I know you've come in power now, but there's a few things I need to sort out so you can bless me. Just could you hang on for a couple of days? I need to clean up my act. There's all of this sin. There's these people I haven't forgiven. Really, I don't know how to do this. There's only one question I can answer. It's the one I've revised. Ready and prepared. Because listen to this. This is about the Father's heart. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at table and come and wait on them. That's the amazing thing about our Father. Who is our master? who is our Lord, who is our God, but because of his heart and love and grace, as we give ourselves wholeheartedly to serving him, he turns the tables on us in the most glorious and wonderful way. He turns the tables on us and ministers to us with a feast. He calls us, he treats us as children, not servants. That's the reality of what will happen when Jesus returns, but we also get wonderful forerunners of that here on earth. But it's not the way we come. We do not come to God as people who are to be served. We do not come to God like that. How presumptuous and outrageous it would be if the servants, when the door was knocked open, they said, "Thank goodness we've been waiting for ages. Put the tea on." It would be outrageous. Imagine what would have happened if the servants had behaved in such a way. But I wonder if, tragically, the church behaves like that far too often. "Been waiting for you for ages, God. Now come up with the goods." Do we ever do that? I wonder. So we come dressed for service with our lamps burning. And in his grace, there are times, and we see them especially in times of revival and renewal, where we are ministered to with a feast. Now, I can't tell you what it will look like individually. And you remember what Joe talked about before, how we are all different, and the responsibility that we have to steward who we are and what gives to us, what God gives to us well and wisely and gratefully. But I can say that being dressed, ready for service, and keeping our lamps burning, and coming ready to serve at a moment's notice, and being prepared as vessels that can carry the presence of God and burn with his fire, will help us to do all that we can do, so that we're ready for God to do what only he can do. You know, because I've talked about it before, that there's this sense from the Holy Spirit about the weekend being of high significance. It's of high significance because God says so, because it's part of his appointed time. And that raised level of faith and expectation, and coming dressed and ready to serve, are vital. And being in that place of surrender are vital. Today has been a really interesting day, because I think that there's been a battle on in this place. There really has been a battle on in this place. And it's almost like, it feels like we've taken a few steps back. But that is because what God wants to do and how the enemy wants to distract are meeting each other head on. And each one of us, as parts of the jigsaw, need to play our part so that we are able to enter into the fullness of what God has. Now, we've run a little bit late, but I want to do one more thing before we finish. And because it's all about being dressed and ready to serve, you won't mind that at all, because it's a high priority for you, as opposed to your lunch. Is this true? Am I sensing? And would you admit it if I wasn't sensing it? So there's just one more thing I want to do. We have with us Scott Stevens this morning. Now, Scott Stevens used to be at Berwick Vineyard Church. No, he didn't. He used to be at the church down the road, Berwick Church of Christ. But he occasionally snuck in here. Is that correct? Doing better, yeah. And his family lives in Berwick, but he now lives in Brisbane. He is now attending Kirk's church at Pine Rivers. It isn't Kirk's church, it's God's church, but Kirk and Nicole lead it. That was one of the places where Ken first came, where there was a real outpouring of the Spirit. And Ken's been back again just in this last week. And that transforming process is continuing. And I just wanted Scott to just share for a couple of minutes, because I want you to get a glimpse of what's going on. Then we're just going to spend a little bit of time in worship, and I'm going to ask Scott and Billy, who've both been blessed at Brisbane, if they'd just be available to pray for people who want to be properly prepared. I don't want the blessing queue. I especially want those who say, I want to be in that place of surrender. I want to be in that place of heightened faith and expectation so that I'm dressed and ready to serve. And I know that there's stuff that I need some breakthrough in there. That's what I'm talking about. So, Scott, if you just... I did tip him off beforehand.
Good morning, you guys. It's great to be with you. I'm just talking to Jeff before, and what's really exciting about the move of God at the moment, our history as an Australian vineyard hasn't been a good one in the sense of loving each other as brothers and sisters within the nation. In other words, if a church has received, they haven't necessarily passed it on. They've really tried to hold it, and we've been guilty of that as a body, and there's been a lot of repentance over that. We're at a point now where there's just so much love between all the churches, and if it's anybody's getting anything from God, they're just wanting to give it away. And so I just pray and just bring a blessing to you guys from the Lord, from Pine Rivers Vineyard. We're excited and by all that we hear that God's doing in and amongst you guys and across our movement. It is a national thing. God is moving really powerfully through our whole church. As a vineyard, yes, I was at Berwick Church of Christ. I wasn't going to say that. at Berwick Church of Christ, I was at Lilydale over at Yarra Valley for a while, but we did come here a lot and visit you guys. But Revelation 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And it's such a true statement in my life. And I'm praying about what I share this morning would become that for you guys. In other words, if you think, I'm not so bright. When I first heard that, I'm like, what? What does that mean? It simply, let me put it this way in an example. You hear testimony of God's salvation, like somebody gets up and gives a testimony about the salvation. Suddenly it's released into the room. You'll see people come to Christ. Because the testimony of Jesus is, God, you know, he saved my life. And suddenly that happens. The Holy Spirit moves and that happens amongst the body. That's kind of what that statement is talking about. Well, mine is, my testimony of Jesus is that I'm a mess. I'm broken. I have been just stripped down. That's maybe too visual there. But just broken down. Just broken down, stripped down of all the stuff in my life that I carried for so many years. I was born and raised in the church, and for many years in my adult walk, it has created in me a religious spirit where I had ingrained in me things that I expected of God and wanted him to do. And since Ken coming, or just prior it started, preparation time, so it's not... I'm not surprised you've got a battle going on, because the weeks before he came, I had a horrible time as well. But press in hard, press in really, really hard with all you've got, because God wants to come and meet with you guys in a powerful way. It's not that Ken's just a servant, but as Jeff said, it's his appointed time. He wants to come and visit you guys in a powerful way. Mine was, I had my theology, what I believed about God. I had my praxis, what I practiced according to that theology, and I lived between those two things quite comfortably, quite safely. It's nice to live there because it's safe and you're in control of that situation. My testimony of Ken's coming is that I had to step outside of that box and the love of God just absolutely nailed me in a physical, tangible way. Suddenly those two things were blown out of the water of everything that I had. In terms of my theology and my living out, were just wiped out by this encounter, with continual encounter. It hasn't been one, it's been many encounters with God. And so I just know that God's got so much for you guys. If you're not expectant, you will be, and I would encourage you to fast and pray and do whatever you've got to do this week to get your heart ready for what God is about to do. He's moving amongst you guys now. It's not like you're coming on Friday and it's all going to start. It started. It's already. You're in it now. You just got to keep moving towards what God wants to do. So just come, whatever you've got to do this week, but give over. Don't let go in the sense of let go and let God and have no responsibility. We were talking about this before. And have no responsibility. But give over. Give him permission to say, I got my comfort zones, I've got what I've got here, but I want to come on your terms, not my terms. I come to you this weekend, this week, whatever it is, your terms, Jesus, not mine. And so I'd love, yeah, to pray for you guys and Billy. So
you can pray for everyone now.
Everyone now.
And then if folk particularly need to know that they need
sure.
to,
then yeah, no worries. Can we stand? Is that all right?
If you adopt the receiving position.
No, Jeff's absolutely right. If you adopt the receiving position, because I know it's cold. I'm not shaking because of the Holy Spirit. I'm actually freezing cold at the moment. Brisbane's a whole lot warmer. but crossed arms, stop. They really do. Stop the Holy Spirit. So, but giving your body a position to say, Lord, again, Lord, come, I give over.
So specifically, hands out of pockets.
It's
uncrossed.
It's
up or out.
Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. Beyond what we know, we understand. We often fail to realize or contemplate or to know the sacrifice that you gave for us in giving your son. It cost you everything that we would come back to you. And you love us that much that you would do that, that you would give your one and only son. Let the reality of that truth impact our hearts right now. Holy Spirit, flow. Come. Come in power with that truth. Each and every one of you are loved so much by the creator of this universe that he said, Son, I love him so much, you have to go. You have to go, live with them, show them who I am, show them the truth and the reality of who I am, and you're going to have to die for them. You're going to have to die for them. But I love them so much, and I know you do too. And I know you do too, that you'll go and you'll show them me and my love for them. Holy Spirit, move on your church now with the love of the Father. With the love of the Father. The love of the Father. More, Lord. More. Let the fire of your love just burn in the hearts of your people. Well it up now, Jesus. Well it up. Give over. Give over to what he has for you. No distractions, anything that is not of you, Jesus, that's in this room that would prevent the love of God coming and impacting your people. We command you now in the name of Jesus, be gone. You have no place in this room. Let your people come to their King. Let your people come to their King that they may know the love that you have for them. Let the distractions of this world fall away. Fall away. Fall away.